This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Is it true that 4,000 steps a day could reduce your risk of dying of any cause? A study says so. I gotta dig further into that, because that could help all of us, right? Alright, sad story to start off with, though, as we take you to Hawaii for an outrageous fire that has wiped out a historic town. I'm Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. I've been here. I was thrilled to be there. My mother died 10 years ago, and luckily I had just enough of the resources that I had saved up to be able to go and spend time with her in Hawaii, in her favorite place on earth. And boy, it was incredible to be there. And now everything that I saw is almost completely gone. Several large fires raged across two of the Hawaii islands, fueled by winds up to 70 to 80 miles an hour from Hurricane Dora, killed at least six people. There were so many stranded tourists who were told, just get out of the hotel or it's going to catch on fire and you're going to be gone. I mean, that's the kinds of words that were used. People just ran for their lives, trying to get to the airport, trying to get out. People are still trying to get out. Like I said, six people died. Other people jumped in the water because they had no choice. They were on docks that were, as they were trying to get boats loose and everything else, they had to jump into the water. So the very popular tourist town of Lahaina, devastated. Tourists warned to avoid traveling to the island. Shelters, maximum capacity. Visitors with cars or other means of transportation are just asked to leave as soon as possible because it's limited resources. It's a time of crisis. That's it, period. It is an island. And it is an expensive island and a tough island to get to. The Hawaii National Guard, they're activated. Helicopters were searching for people left behind in areas without power and accessible roads. And it just happened in an instant, just like that. All of a sudden, ash, smoke, the views, multiple fires going on. People were saying it's surreal, it can't be happening. And you got people that are being treated for burns, really sad, sad situations. I mean, the shock of it all. And I said this in another hour, but if you've been through any kind of a disaster, hurricane, tornado, mudslides, floods, you know what happens. You know when that panic sets in. You know that shock. And you know the desire to stay. I think there is that thought that, especially with a fire, if I could just plant myself here, grab a hose, do whatever I can. I mean, this is our lives. We don't want to lose this. People were trying to do that, and they luckily got pulled out by others because this was the kind of fire you were not going to survive that if you were in the middle of Lahaina or if you were in Kahului, which is just right next to it, or any of those places. So really, really tough because remember, obviously, it is a place where many Americans go, where they do save up their pennies, where they do want to go to experience Hawaii, and Maui is one of the most popular islands. Oahu may be the most popular, but this would probably be the second most popular. But now it's, you know, burned to the ground, many, many of the areas. And you have people that are just stuck and dumbfounded by what has happened there. All right, speaking of being dumbfounded, there were a lot of people in Provo, Utah, in this sleepy little community in a cul-de-sac where they were awakened at 6 o'clock in the morning by the sound of gunfire because their neighbor was being killed by the FBI, and their neighbor was a 75-year-old man that some described as just a gentle, sweet man. But the gentle, sweet man was threatening to assassinate the president, the vice president, and a slew of other people, Democratic people that in, you know, in the party, higher up in the party. And because of that, and because of the massive amounts of threats that were posted all over the place, and very much a list of specifics, they went to go and arrest him. They had a warrant. They were going in to arrest him. They had a judge sign the complaint for this Craig D. Robertson because of the massive amounts of threats. And when they went in, they just found an arsenal of all kinds of weapons and all kinds of things, of plans and what he was going to do. And there was something that was posted on Monday saying, "I hear Biden is coming to Utah. I'm digging out my suit, cleaning the dust off my M24 sniper rifle, and said the time is right for a presidential assassination or two, first Joe, then Kamala." Well, once you start doing that, you know that the heat is on. But already there were signs that something was happening there. So now that's more about what's going to come out of this investigation, and the people in that neighborhood just... And you see the pictures of the neighborhood, and you think, oh, that it's lots of trees, bunch of houses around this cul-de-sac. Seems kind of like just a really calm area. So you can only imagine the people there were shocked, and it was what I said. The neighbors were saying they can't believe it escalated. They can't believe that this sweet man was doing that. But he had plans, so that's, of course, what's going to happen. There was definite consequences for him, but it was going to be an arrest, not annihilation, and that's what it turned out to be when the FBI went in and had apparently no choice. In the meantime, you think it's hot here? In Iran, they say it's 158 degrees, the heat index. 158. And this is in a coastal area. So that would be pretty tough to survive that. I mean, you couldn't be outside for very long at all. Certainly not for a couple of hours. It just, of course, they get excessive heat in that area. But to have it that hot, I mean, that is poker red hot. Oof. Just crazy. While we talk about the heat that is just relentless in Arizona and in Texas. And, of course, the worry, as I started talking about the fires in Maui, is fires in Texas. There's already elevated fire weather with triple-digit temperatures. And when you got that humidity under 25%, and then you got winds about 15 miles an hour or so, it's not a good thing. So the Texas A&M Forest Service already is saying there's 140 fires that are burning about 14,000 acres in the past 7 days, but they think it's going to really jump up and escalate. Let's hope not. But at least there's the warnings out there so that people are aware of what can happen when they live in some of these areas where you've got a lot of that brush that could go up in a second. It was all about anxiety. That's what the PGA Tour Commish says when the Saudis swooped in and he was in that precarious position. That's part of what we're going to talk about in the Man Cave.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25% plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
It's time to
those Phillies. They shut down the Nationals 7-0, but what you might not know is the first time the Nationals have had a no-hitter pitched against them. Yes, indeed. Michael Lorenzen had the no-hitter for the Phillies. A very, very big deal to pitch a no-hitter. And when you're in the midst of the possibility of one, everybody's on edge who happens to be listening or watching the game. So it was his home debut with the franchise. It's the 14th in Phillies club history. He walked to the mound to start the ninth inning, and bada bing, it all stayed together. So the Phillies picked up their 63rd win. He was celebrated heavily. And that's a very, very big deal in Major League Baseball. PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan says his leave of absence came from anxiety because of the LIV deal with the Saudis. I'm so not shocked by this. So the idea to strike a deal with the Saudi Public Investment Fund that supports LIV golf took its toll on Jay Monahan, he says. He got a lot of criticism, massive criticism from fans, from 9/11 families, tour members, current and former players. And about a week after the deal was announced, on June 6th, he took a leave of absence to deal with what they called a medical situation, and he didn't come back until July 17th. So he just flat out said the reason for the absence was because what he was facing. He said, the reality for me was I was dealing with anxiety. It created physical and mental health issues and challenges for me, and I realized I needed to step away to deal with that and understand how to develop the skills to deal with it going forward. That it was difficult, but I needed to take care of myself, my family, and come back stronger. And you can just imagine what some people are saying about that. because this was this secret deal, and it left so many people in the dark, including players who didn't jump to the LIV Tour, who were offered insane amounts of money. So if he learned how to deal with it, that's a good thing, because that's not going away. That if he's had a health problem because of it, then the whole anxiety thing, he had to learn how to deal with that, because he's going to get pummeled over and over and over again. There were lots of people who were not happy still with what's gone on there, and there's confusion about what does it all mean, right? All right, what does it all mean when it comes to the NFL? It means we're in training camp and it's winding down and there's preseason games, and before you know it, the regular stuff is going to be happening. We're very, very, very close to it. Let's put it that way. And on Hard Knocks, you have the Jets as the featured team. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers loves that. But he got a little taste of what playing the position was like as the Jets quarterback, because in a joint practice with the Panthers, it was kind of a day for the Jets offense with an awful 3-and-out in a 2-minute drill, and not going deep on the specifics that happened there. But you had 10,000 tickets that were distributed for the crowd. So it was a larger, to pump up the crowd, I guess. So it was a larger than usual crowd at Wofford College. And this is what you get when you're Aaron Rodgers. And this was in South Carolina that we're talking about. So the Jets, like every other team, they're figuring out cuts coming up and who is going to be on the roster that maybe we weren't expecting to be on the roster, but could end up on the roster. That's what's interesting about the off season, and then getting into training camp, it gets you primed for the upcoming season, but also the possibilities of, you know, who are we not looking at that could be a great addition and is here. Sad story for Henry Ruggs III, sad for the family of the young woman who was killed as he was driving under the influence. And you may have forgotten this story, but he was sentenced to 3 to 10 years in prison after pleading guilty to driving 156 miles an hour under the influence. He crashed his Corvette into a car. He killed a 23-year-old Tina Tintor and her dog in November of 21. His blood alcohol level was twice the legal limit in Nevada. And he also, in that accident, there was somebody else who was one of the girl's friends, was also in the car and injured in that collision. So, you know, they said to the judge, he's taken responsibility for his action and it's inexcusable and yada, 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 yada. But he gets 3 to 10 years behind bars. It was shocking when that happened, and obviously awful for anybody related or connected to the young woman. But you just knew it was going to be somewhere in that range. And sure enough, it was not a surprise. All right, here's a job that the right person, and there's a lot of those right people, would want. Ohio State's athletic director Gene Smith is going to retire in 2024. This is somebody, talk about stability, who spent 2 decades as the AD at Ohio State, one of the most influential administrators in college sports. So at the age of 67, he announced that it's going to happen in June of 2024, the end of the academic year. And he said that, my mentors have always said you'll know when it's time, and it's time. So he's out there looking. Over the course of when he was there, the Buckeyes captured 32 team and 117 individual national championships over his tenure, including winning the first college football playoff in 2014. 15. So he said he was looking forward to the next chapter of his life and wanting to plan more consistent, I like what he said, more consistent quality time with our children and our grandchildren. So super specific, because not getting the chance to spend enough time with them, you know, and having to deal with what you would have to deal with in that position, which would be incredible in one sense, but absolutely there would be not a lot of built-in time there, that's for sure. So at 67, it makes sense, and trying to make a decision and figuring out when it was time to pull the ripcord. And I love that he said that the mentor told him that, because that makes sense. Extensions are so big in the NBA. Listen to this one. Josh Hart finalized a four-year, $81 million extension with the Knicks. I mean, Knicks, they're putting the, you know, ink on it, as they say, working for the final details. And he's going to continue to participate with Team USA and the World Cup and everything in between. I mean, he came to the Knicks in a trade deadline deal with the Portland Trail Blazers in February and made a big impact on them advancing to the Eastern Conference semifinals. So he shot 58% overall, 52% from the three-point range. And his 25 regular season games for the Knicks and all that, that's what he shot, is pretty good. So he's impactful. I think they're smart to do that, to come up with the coin and make sure they sign him, because I think that will pay off. I think it, without a doubt, I think it'll pay off. And that, so that was a smart move by New York, as their fans desperately want to see something happen. You know, you get the right moves, you get the right people, but somehow the Knicks are the woulda, shoulda, coulda team. Like, oh, so close, but just not close enough. I'm going to throw in a couple of scores from the land of baseball. The Brew Crew beat the Rockies 7-6. Marlins slid by the Reds 5-4. Josh Bell homered twice from both sides of the plate. So how about that? The Rays lost to the Cardinals 6-4. So they sit at 69-47 because of that loss. Astros beat the O's 8-2. Braves over the Pirates 6-5. Thanks to Nathan Reeder for his excellent work on the technicals. We toss you to a couple of really great authors.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source, so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News update. At least six people are dead as a massive wildfire burns out of control on Hawaii's Maui Island. Lieutenant Governor Sylvia Luke said today hurricane force winds in the region and drought conditions are fueling the fire.
We never anticipated in this state that a hurricane, which did not make impact on our island, will cause this type of wildfires.
The fire has devastated the tourist town of Lahaina. House Republicans will formally accuse President Biden of corruption. corruption. A memo released from House Oversight Committee members argues it doesn't need to directly show payments from Hunter Biden's dealings to the president to prove corruption. Republicans argue the payments to Hunter Biden's multiple accounts by foreign entities implicate the president. Republican presidential hopeful Chris Christie is challenging Donald Trump to show up for the presidential debates. Christie said it would be disrespectful if Trump skipped the debate. John Schaefer, USA News.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnybay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnybay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnybay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I'm thrilled to take you to Australia for a conversation with Rum Charles. He is an author. He's written these fabulous children's books that I think he's going to write more and more and more, and I hope you just absorb these books. He is in Melbourne, Australia, right by Elwood Bay, or as he likes to call it, the beach. So we're kindred spirits in that way. As you all know, I talk about that often. And he's got these books that so many of them focus in this one series on sharks, which everybody knows I'm fanatical about sharks and protecting sharks. So this is brilliant to have him on. The book we're going to talk about, Dad, There's a Hammerhead in the Shed. Is that just a great title? Rum, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure, Kate.
Let's talk about how you, first of all, came up with this theme and this really series of books.
Well, the theme came from my original children's book, which is called The Sea Glass Witch. So I was walking along the beach one day, and I had a girlfriend, and she was forever picking up sea glass. She'd always be stopping and picking up sea glass. And one day she stopped in front of me. I bumped into her. And I said to her, "You're like the sea glass witch, you are." And as the words came out of my mouth, I thought to myself, that's a really great title for a book. So the first children's book that I wrote a business book back in 2009, but the first children's book I wrote was 2020, and it was The Sea Glass Witch, and it was based on the fact that I had a girlfriend who was ever picking up sea glass. I did send her a copy of the book. She was most impressed. So that's how the first book came along. And in The Sea Glass Witch, I don't know if you know or your listeners know an Australian author. He's very famous. His name is Graham Bass. Do you know Graham Bass?
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, he's a great author, and he's well known around the world for drawing Easter eggs of animals in his books. Like, you can look at a page of his book and you won't see that there are hundreds of animals in the pages until you look carefully. So I try to include a bit of an homage to Graham Bass by putting some secret characters into the sea glass witch. And I put in some secret sharks, and there were three sharks. There's the pajama shark, there's the hammerhead shark, and there's a lemon shark. So the first in the series of books that I've written about sharks are taken from the sea glass witch, which is the reason that you have Dad, There's a Hammerhead in the Shed. I mean, that's a great title, if you ask me. And then there's The Shark Who Needed My Pajamas, which is based on the pajama shark. And then a book that's just come out, actually, and is available on Amazon, is Dad, Are Lemons Bitey? And that's about lemon sharks. There's another couple of books that are coming as well, which is The Unexpected Nurse, which is about a nurse shark. And then there's also a nervous shark. So Vanessa gets to hang out and play with a nervous shark as well. So there are five books in this set, in this series, about sharks.
And, you know, it's interesting. There is a fascination, I think, that lots of us have with sharks. What do you chalk that up to?
I think that sharks are one of those mythical creatures where we like to be slightly scared and in awe of animals at the same time. So I think that sharks really got a bad rap in my view, but also were brought to international attention in the 70s with the movie Jaws. So, I mean, if you go dum 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 dum, everybody knows and sees a shark and feels a shark in their bones. So I really feel that human beings have a love-hate relationship with sharks. But I think we need to respect them more, we need to love them more, we need to nurture them more, and we need to stop killing them. So a big part of my books is to introduce people to sharks as friendly creatures who live in this little girl's imagination and in her house as well.
Yeah. So in the book, Dad, There's a Hammerhead in the Shed, tell us about the storyline there.
Well, the storyline for Dad, There's a Hammerhead in the Shed is based on when my daughter Vanessa was very little, she would always have imaginary friends. Okay, I'd walk into a room and she'd be talking to someone. I'd sit down and she'd say, "You've just squashed my friend," or she'd be asking me to play these various games or do different things. I spent a lot of time on the phone to Barbara Millicent Roberts, also known as Barbie. So I'd be making phone calls to Barbie and we're having arranging tea parties and, you know, go to my fellow Australian, Margot Robbie, who gets to play Barbie. So with this particular book, what happens is that Vanessa goes into her dad's shed and behind the door is a hammerhead shark. Now, in all the shark books, you never see the father. You hear his voice, but you never see him because, as we all know as adults, the minute an adult goes into a room where an imaginary friend is, the imaginary friend disappears. So the dad's in the house. In this case, he's doing the family laundry. Okay, so he's doing the laundry, and Vanessa shouts from the shed. She goes, "Dad, there's a hammerhead in the shed." And he goes, "Of course, that's where they live." But he's thinking about a hammer and a hammerhead from one of his tools, and she's seeing a hammerhead shark. So the hammerhead shark's in the shed because he's trying to get a nail out of his nose. And Vanessa calls back to her dad and says, "Dad, how'd you get a nail out?" And he says, "You could try a claw." And the hammerhead says to Vanessa, "Well, I've tried that, but lobster didn't like it because of the claw on the lobster." Dad says, "You can use a spanner," and she tries a spanner crab. I don't know if you have those in America, but in Australia, we have wonderful spanner crabs, great eating as well. And so, so she uses a spanner crab. And then he says, "Have you used the other end have you used the other end of," and "really, really, truly, Dad, you know?" And so she tries to use the tail. And obviously that doesn't work. And so eventually she finds a little hammer on the side of the bench and she manages to use the claw end of the hammer to get the nail out. And so her and the hammerhead are very, very pleased that she's helped him to feel better. So in part, the book's about not being scared of things that are different to you. So she's not scared of the hammerhead. It's about helping the hammerhead. And the book has been reviewed by the U.S. Review of Books. And there's a beautiful quote, which I'll give you, actually, from the book. It says, this book is unique because the message about the power of perseverance, her perseverance echoes in a single line that embodies the book's entire theme. Let me try one more time. And that's the truth. So about Dad, there's a hammerhead in the shed. It's about Vanessa's resilience. It's about her willingness to try, her willingness to help, and her own imagination. So it's got a lot of imagination, but it's funny. The book's funny. So there's lots of laughs, not just for the child, but for the adult as well. I believe that if a book is to become a family favorite, the adult who's reading it is going to love it as much as the child.
Yeah, how fun was it for you to write these books? Because you have such a great imagination, and you nailed it. I mean, obviously, when you say that it's funny, there's a lesson, all of that. Was it fun to do this?
Oh, look, yes, it was a lot of fun. Without a doubt, writing these books is fun. I've done five, but there's a whole different set coming up called the Wobbegongs. I mean, there's a subset of shots called Wobbegongs. I mean, say the word Wobbegongs, Kate.
Wobbegongs.
No, Wobbegong.
Wobbegong.
Yeah. Now, you can't say Wobbegong without laughing.
Yeah, Wobbegong.
If you're in radio land and you're listening right now, say Wobbegong to a child and watch them laugh. So there's a whole set of books coming up called We Are the Wobbegongs and We're Coming to Town. It's a lot of fun reading and writing these books. I look through and I see different shark names and I think, well, that's funny. I mean, Wobbegong's a funny word. A nurse shark is funny. So when the nurse shark comes because Vanessa's not well, one of the things we do there is that she uses coral, and she puts coral in Vanessa's mouth like a thermometer, because we all know with coral bleaching and global warming, when the coral goes white, it means that it's hotter. So therefore, there's a funny joke about the coral going white, which means that she's a little unwell. And she uses a sea sponge on her head because to keep her cool, and then she uses kelp bandages. And I hope, as I'm explaining it, your listeners can see in their mind's eye how funny that is, where you've got a little girl wrapped up in with a sponge on her head and kelp around her, and they're testing her reflexes with a little hammerhead shark. So these books are endlessly entertaining for me to write, and I hope endlessly entertaining for you and the children to read.
Yeah, and you said it, you know, you talk about the power of perseverance overall, and you're explaining this quite well, but what do you really hope the takeaway is in the relationship with the books and the child, and really adults too as well?
Well, there's a few relationships, and there's a few things that I would like the adults and the children to take away. One of them is that Vanessa lives with her dad, so it's men can be primary caregivers. Dads can be as much fun and as useful and as good parents as mums. So I really want to give up, you know, to say that dads are really important in young people's lives as well as mothers. That's really important. These books are about, they're about sharks. Yes, they're about parenting, but it's also creating an intergenerational connection between grandparents, parents, and children. That's the particular message I'd like people to take away from my books.
Yeah, perfect place to end this. You can get all of these books, as Rum mentioned, on Amazon. Rum Charles, keep doing what you're doing, and thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk with you, and I hope to speak to you again soon. Thank you very much for having me, and thank you to all your listeners.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Author's Corner here with me, Kate Delaney, on America Tonight. We welcome Carlos R. Hamilton, Jr., and he's written a book called A Rose Blooms in Texas, Coming of Age in the Civil War Era. You can imagine what times were like then. What he found out about his family is so interesting, and it's really a historical narrative. Carlos, thanks for joining us.
It's my privilege to be here. Thank you.
So the first question is, what motivated you to write this book? How did this all come about?
Well, I'll try to make it a shorter story than it really is. But during World War II, when my father was overseas, he was a surgeon for an artillery battalion in Patton's Third Army. So he was away for a couple of years. And my grandfather, who was a surgeon practicing in Houston at the time, insisted that my mother and I move to an apartment right behind their house because he didn't think a single lady ought to be so far away by herself with a little child. At any rate, I spent a good bit of time with my grandparents, and I got to know them really quite well. And they would tell me lots of stories, but they also had a big piano in one of the rooms of their house that did not play as a piano because it was just too old, but it was a wonderful place for a five-year-old boy to build a fort. And I played war underneath that piano for a good many days. At any rate, 30 years later or so, when my grandmother passes away well into her 90s, I'm informed that she has left a piano to me in her will. I wasn't sure just exactly what this meant, but I found out that it was the old upright grand piano that I had played under as a child. Well, we had it moved over to our house. My wife and I had just moved back to Houston after I had finished my Air Force medical service. And the piano was so hard to move. It weighed about 1,000 pounds. And four of the strongest guys I've ever seen could hardly lift it. At any rate, to make a long story short, over the years, I got really curious about the people that would have bought this piano for a 10-year-old girl in 1850 and have moved it from North Carolina to East Texas. We could hardly move it two blocks from where it was located to our house, but it was quite an adventure. At any rate, as I started trying to learn more about these people, you, of course, the young girl, and the young man that she would eventually marry were my great-grandparents, but they had all died at least 30 or 40 years before I was born. So I never had the privilege of knowing them, but I do recall my grandmother and her sisters talking very fondly about their parents. Well, I decided I really needed to learn about these people, and I knew that they had come to a plantation in East Texas, which is about 120 miles north of Houston. It's in the Piney Woods, but it is right on the Trinity River, which is a very large river that actually flows through Dallas and winds up in Galveston Bay. I had a cousin who was living in Crockett, Texas, which is the town there close to where they were living, and asked him if he knew where these people had lived and what did he know about them. He said he didn't know exactly where their plantation had been, but he knew somebody that did know. And it was a man named Edgar Pouncey, and that if I would come to Crockett, Texas on a Sunday afternoon, he would give me lunch and we'd go out and see if we could find the graves and find out where the house was. I didn't know at the time that Edgar Pouncey was a direct descendant of a family of slaves that had been brought to Texas from North Carolina by the owners, Berta Smith's parents, Anna Jane and John Smith. Now, the story that I learned from Edgar Pouncey was absolutely unique in my experience. And it is certainly not a typical situation between owners and slaves, because it was very unusual. Under no circumstances is this story or this book supposed to be an apology for the slavery movement or its existence. Slavery was one of the worst things that ever happened to the American colonies beginning in 1620 or 1616 or whatever it was. But it was a terrible thing and it was unnecessary. It never needed to be. But the people then didn't know that. And commercial agriculture was something that had never really existed before. That is, where you raise enough crops to sell it in a large way. At any rate, slavery was something that was there, and people that were living at that time had to deal with it one way or the other. Well, Edgar Pouncey surprised me by saying nothing but nice things about Major Smith and Anna Jane, that they had treated their families with respect and with kindness, and at the end of the war had made sure that any of the slaves' families that wanted to stay in that area could own their own property. And many of them are still there. At 150 or so years later, there are still families living there. The Smith family gave to the ex-slaves land for a school and for a cemetery and for a church. And we went to a Sunday service there, and it was amazing to me how many people spoke so fondly about the folks that had made that church possible. The school is still there, the church is still there, and the people all have very different feelings about the Smith family than I would ever have anticipated. But I thought that this was such a remarkable story that I really needed to find out everything I could about what was going on in these young people's lives. Now, at the end of the war, when Berta Smith, who was the young girl that owned the piano, was about 18 or 19 years old, she married John Wooters, who was this young man that she had met before the Civil War started, and she had grown over the years to learn a lot about love. So my friends asked me, what's this book about? And I said, well, it's really a love story. And of course, most of my guy friends realized that he obviously made this one all up. But in fact, I didn't make it all up. It is well documented, and everything that happened in the book it did happen. Whether it happened exactly on the day, or whether they were wearing what I thought they were wearing, or whether they had to eat what I said that they were going to have for dinner, I can't be certain of. But I do know that the episodes did occur. At any rate, it's an interesting story, and it's one that I thought was so unique that somebody really was going to have to write it. And there wasn't anybody else. So I worked for about a decade trying to put together all this information and turned it into a book that I hope people will find interesting and at least give a different perspective on some things in American history. Under no circumstances is it an explanation or an apology for the slavery movement. But it's an example of how if people really do have respect for their fellow human beings, things can work out despite bad situations a whole lot better than you might expect.
Boy, no,
that's really the story.
Yeah, and we want to tell everybody, A Rose Blooms in Texas, Coming of Age in the Civil War Era, Carlos R. Hamilton Jr. You can get this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. And you said it, but it's worth reiterating. What do you hope people take away from reading this book that you spent a decade on doing all this research?
Well, that's a kind of a hard question to answer, but I think that just to realize that things aren't always the way you think they are, and sometimes they're actually better. Oftentimes they're not, but sometimes they are. And I think this was a situation where because people had faith, they had respect for each other, things worked out much better than they might have. This man, Edgar Pouncey, who is now deceased, but he was a senior citizen back when we met him in Crockett. He was one of the trustees of the Cedar Branch Independent School District, had been very active in the community, was a highly regarded person, very well educated, and he had a perspective on things that I just was not aware of. And it's a story that kind of gives an alternative explanation to certain things in life.
Yeah. Wow, you've said it all. I mean, that's a perfect place to end this. Carlos, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
It's my privilege. Thank you for having me.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.